welcome to hour number two of the Jeff Poehler Show here on FM Talk 106.5. We're keeping an eye on Tropical Storm Sally as it's making its way here inshore. Just stay safe out there. There's a ton of rain fall associated with it, and it looks like it's going to make a couple of swipes at the state. But it is. We'll give you a 10 o'clock advisory just issued. We'll give you an update on that here in a few moments. Coming up on the program, still, we got from WVNN, my old colleague Dale Jackson will be with us. We also got former State Senator Trip Pittman, that's in the next hour, and State Representative Tommy Haynes. So please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, running for re-election to the United States Senate. United States Senator Doug Jones is with us. Senator, how are you this morning?
Jeff, doing great. Headed back to D.C. today to try to figure out what's going on up there. But I am doing well. I hope you are. I hope everybody takes this storm serious.
Right. Let's talk about the storm just for a moment, if we could. You have a unique perspective as a member of the Senate, the resources, preparations, getting the word out. When you have a major weather event like this, do you play a big role? Do you have people keeping you with the latest information? Walk us through that.
Yeah. No, we always get updates from EMA. I'm in in our offices. I may not always be, but our office there in Mobile and in the state are in pretty constant contacts with both the EMA at the state level as well as national folks, tracking this, where they see things might go. The flooding and rain, I think, is going to be the biggest issue in Alabama the way it stands now. But that is going to be serious, and people need to be very cautious. But we like to make sure we get those warnings out. Whenever there's something that endangers people's lives, Jeff, we should really take it to heart, and we should start warning people. We don't want to, nobody's going to panic, but you need to get warned.
Yeah, and you just be ready. Like you said, you can't control the weather, but you need to be prepared for it. Sounds like,
right.
The sound advice from hearing a lot of corners here. Let's get into the realm of politics, as much as fun as that may seem. First off, COVID-19 relief, it looks like it's hit a snag. Speaker Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin not very optimistic. What's your take on that saga?
Well, unfortunately, I agree with that. See, what people forget, Jeff, is that the House passed the CARES, the Heroes Act in May, and that was not a perfect bill. There was a lot of things in that thing I didn't support. It was too big, but it was a framework to talk, because by May and June, everyone knew the virus was going to be with us. We knew that we were coming to the end of the payroll protection plan for small businesses. We knew we were coming to the end of unemployment compensation. And we knew we were coming to a point where schools were going to be reopening, and we needed to get that. We knew we were coming to a point where cities and counties and our local governments were going to have to start laying off people, and we're seeing that across the board. But instead of using the framework, Mitch McConnell just deep-sixed it. And it was not until we were about to leave in August, they put a few proposals out there that was worth about a third of that, a little bit over $1 trillion. But he couldn't get his caucus in the Senate to support it. There were 20, 25 people that didn't like it. They didn't want to spend any money. They saw unemployment dipping. They saw the economy beginning to move a little bit despite incredible numbers that we were seeing in Alabama during that time. And so he pulled it. We didn't vote on anything. We didn't try. They broke. He sent us home. So what happened in the course of the last month, in order to get his votes, not a bipartisan agreement, in order to get his votes, He kind of dumbed it down a little bit to about half of what it was, bought votes from people like Ted Cruz and others to get his support, but not talking to anybody to try to get bipartisan support. And that's really unfortunate. The bill that he put on the floor the other day was just really totally inadequate. The problems with the bill itself and what was not in it was just not acceptable. I think a lot of people thought that once that happened, maybe they would talk. I was not optimistic about that. I just believe that McConnell at this point is ready, willing, and able to just let it go until after the election, and that's really unfortunate.
What was the fear that if you went ahead and passed I think they were calling it like a skinny relief or something, that the fear was you wouldn't come back to revisit it for something more substantial?
There was no question that we wouldn't. We didn't have to pass that bill in order to do something now. Remember, we've had something more substantial that passed the House back in May, and he refused to talk about it. McConnell wasn't even involved in the negotiations and discussions that were taking place with Secretary Mnuchin and the White House back in August. He just stayed away from them. And so it wasn't a fear. It was, you know, history's a pretty good judge. And the bill that he put up there was not acceptable. And it wasn't just unacceptable because of the things it didn't do. It was unacceptable things it did do. I mean, it was, you know, putting too many strings to education, giving not just tax deductions, but tax credits for wealthy folks who are providing these scholarships, taking away money from public schools. There's so many things about the bill that were not good at all. And so the fact is, you know, he needed to talk to folks and try to figure out a way. Now, find some common ground, find middle ground, because it's there, Jeff. I'm telling you, I've talked to enough colleagues on both sides of the aisle to know it is there. It is in the range probably of $1.5 to $2 trillion, but it's there for cities and counties. It's there for health. It's there for education. It's there for a lot of things. But the majority leader controls it, and he just refuses to have any discussions about that.
I mean, $1.5 trillion, $2 trillion, not chump change. When I talked to some of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, they said, well, the $3 trillion passed earlier in the year, it really hasn't made its way through the system. What's the rush to get this tranche out?
Well, because some of it has long since made its way through the system. Not every bit of it has passed. Some of the things that the state are doing, are they're still having to reallocate a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, there is more damage to us now. There are people that are still hurting that are unemployed. There are still people, businesses that still need help trying to open safely and healthy. Our healthcare system needs to continue to get an infusion of capital. Those are the kind of things that we really still need to do. They're right. There is some money that can be repurposed, and I think that's a good thing. But the fact is, every economist, the Federal Reserve Chair, has always said all throughout the course of the summer that Congress needs to put some more money out there. And it's unfortunate. I understand the deficit issue, but we cannot, while we're still in this crisis, continue to put our head in the sand and the federal government not do what is necessary to save lives and livelihoods.
Are you optimistic that perhaps at a later date, perhaps after the election, that something could get done? I know we're sitting here in September. Could you get something done in that lame duck period before the new year?
Yeah, it's possible for sure. Things have been. But remember, we've got two very, very important things that have to be done in a lame duck session, in my view. Number one, we've got to pass appropriations. We're going to probably either this week or the next have to do another one of those dang continuing resolutions because we couldn't get it together to get a bill. Despite the efforts of Senator Shelby and Leahy and others, they could not get an appropriation. So we've got to fund the government. And it really hurts the government when you just have to do a continuing resolution and kick the can down the road. That is not just acceptable. It's not something we should do. So, but that's going to have to happen. And hopefully we can get something done this Congress. The other thing that we've got to do, we got to pass the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. That's bipartisan legislation that passed our committee, of which I'm a member, to upgrade our military, to provide support for our veterans, to provide support for our great military. It passed like 26-2. The House passed one. Those have to be reconciled. We really need to pass that NDAA. So a lame duck session is going to have a lot on its plate with not a whole lot of time before we have to get out in December. It's still possible, though. I'd like to see that, but folks are going to have to put their partisan differences aside and come to the table and find some common ground and come up with a bill, Jeff. Here's the bottom line. Just like as a lawyer, I used to mediate cases. Most people walk away from a mediation settling a case. Nobody's really completely happy. We got to do that for the American people. We got to bite the bullet, come together, and try to find that common ground.
Joined by NIC Senator Doug Jones here on FM Talk 106.5. Into the realm of election politics. First off, your campaign, it looks like it's getting a little more aggressive, just kind of here as a spectator on the sidelines, throwing some punches at your opponent, Tommy Tuberville. How's that going?
Well, I think it's going great for us. But, yeah, you know, when you're running against somebody who clearly has professed to have no clue about the pandemic, does not know what the Voting Rights Act is, and I can give you the verbatim comment that he made where he was asked about that and didn't even know what it was, it, you know, you have to get a little bit aggressive. You have to call him out when the President of the United States, it's confirmed by Fox News and others that he called veterans suckers and losers. And when he refuses to call that out, you have to get aggressive when it's clear now from the President's own words that he was downplaying the virus when he knew in January and February how dangerous this virus was. You have to call him out when Tommy Tuberville calls it fake news, because there's nothing fake. We know he's downplayed it. And it would be just kind of like going back to our early conversations, Jeff. You guys are putting out warnings right now to be safe, be careful, because you've got a dangerous storm coming. Well, the President was basically saying this storm's not that dangerous. It's going to go away before it hits our shore. That is unconscionable. And the fact that he refuses to do that because of just blind loyalty. People have to have a little courage to stand up, even to people that they respect and that they would like to help support their policy.
Senator, if you believe media reports or what we're seeing out there, there's a wave of optimism for Democrats, both on the presidential front, obviously, but it looks like Capitol Hill is up for grabs, both chambers, obviously with the House already in Democrat control, but the Senate, Democrats could win that. What are you hearing out there? Well, how do you feel about Democrats' chances in November?
You know, there's only one Democrat I care about right now, and that's me. I think that we have an opportunity in Alabama to really push forward with a plan and a program so that Alabama folks can understand that I've been working for them as a Democrat, and they're not used to that, Jeff. They haven't had a Democrat in the U.S. Senate for some 25, 26 years now after my old boss, Howell Heflin, left. But what we've been able to do in the last 2.5 years is to show that Democrats act in Alabama actually care about the people in Alabama. We're doing things across the board as one Alabama in every zip code. We're fighting for farmers. We're fighting for the military. We're fighting for hospitals. We're fighting to get a living wage. We're doing those things necessary. That's not to say that I wouldn't love to see my colleagues in the Senate that I work with, like Gary Peters and others, get reelected. My friend Joe Biden, I'm not going to walk away from my support for somebody that I have known for 40 years and believe would be a great president. But we're focused here in Alabama. We've got some incredible opportunities here in Alabama to really unify and bring this state together, not be us versus them. The way that I see Tommy Tuberville talking about Democrats, us versus them, good and evil. Jeff, I've been on your show a lot of times over the last 2.5 years. You've never heard me approach my job that way. I don't do it. It's not the way you get things done. So we're focusing on our race right here in Alabama.
You get the sense, though, that a lot of these elections, particularly at a local level, at state level as well, that they've been nationalized, and we are talking R versus D, and that's something you just have to deal with, right?
It is. You have to deal with it, and that's why we're breaking through, I believe. That's why I think we're getting a lot of traction and have it. I think it's why I won in 2017, because at the end of the day, and Alabama has this history. We've got a history of independent voting. And things get nationalized to some extent, but at the end of the day, people that are uncomfortable, even with somebody that they may vote for president, needs to look and see who's going to have their back, who's going to vote for them and do the things necessary and promote their interest. Again, whether it's farmers, education, jobs, military, the economy. There's a lot of reasons people vote for president of the United States. But at the end of the day, people in Alabama want somebody that is looking out for them. And that's what we've done over the last 2.5 years. The 21 bill, you know, Jeff, it's interesting because people, you know, especially Tuberville, will rail against Congress and not getting things done. In 2017, that's exactly what we ran on, to be able to get things done. And in 2.5 years, that's exactly what we have done. 21 bipartisan bills, original bills for the people of America, for the people of Alabama, that was signed by the President of the United States. That is getting something done for the people, and that's what folks want.
Senator, up against the break, real quick before we go, tell folks where they could they could find you on the internet if they or find out more about your campaign as well.
Well, there's a lot of ways now, Jeff, since we've expanded. You can always, if you need help, go to the Senate. Jones.senate.gov. The campaign is DougJones.com. But we've got a couple other sites too. If people want to learn about absentee ballots, they can go to OneAlabamaVote.com. If people want to learn the truth about some of those crazy negative ads that are being run against me, go to OneAlabamaFacts.com. If you want to learn about Tubby Tuberville's hedge fund by looking at the court records, go to tubervillehedgefund.com. So there's a lot of ways to get information out there today, Jeff. Thank you.
Senator, as always, thanks for making time for us. We'll have to do it again real soon.
My pleasure, bud. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Nice Day Senator Doug Jones. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.